Support for Iditapod, a production of Alaska Public Media, comes from MVFCU. Experience the MVFCU way.
Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Iditapod. I'm your host, Casey Grove. And, you know, we like to bring you the freshest content possible. Sometimes the production time gets in the way of that, editing in that theme music from Sassafras. So we're doing away with the theme music for this one, as we do with most bonus episodes. This recording comes courtesy of Alaska Public Media's Lex Trinan, who made it to White Mountain, just about 77 miles from the finish line in Nome. And that is where he caught up with the leader of the 2022 Iditarod, Brent Sass, who was bedding his dogs down for a rest, giving him snacks, talking about getting himself a little bit of rest, sleep being pretty hard to come by out there for the Iditarod mushers. Brent arrived there in White Mountain about 11 a.m. here Monday, and I think Lex just got there a little bit before that. He was texting my colleague Tegan Hanlon and I, how far out is Brent? I think because he didn't have access to the tracker, so we were texting him, he's about to get there right now. So Lex got down to the checkpoint just in time to talk to Brent. And I don't know if there's a whole lot of setup I can do for this, really. The first 5 or 5.5 minutes of this tape is pretty straight up interview back and forth. It's Bruce Lee with Iditarod Insider asking questions and Lex asking questions. There's village kids from White Mountain asking some questions. I think there's another member of the media in there that I'm not totally sure who that is, but it's a lot of the things that you would imagine folks asking the leading musher in the Iditarod as they arrived in White Mountain, where, of course, there's a mandatory 8-hour break before that final push to the finish line. And as we always say, anything can happen. This race is not over. Brent mentions that in this interview, but he's in a really good position to potentially win his first Iditarod championship. And then after that first 5.5 minutes or so, there's sounds of Brent doing dog chores. The interviewing kind of picks back up. It's here, it's there. But I thought I would just let this tape roll and take you right there to White Mountain so that you can hear it for yourself. So without further ado, here is Brent Sass in White Mountain.
Oh, well. Oh, boy. Well, we made it. Oh.
How
are
you feeling?
I'm in shock, maybe? I don't really know yet. It was a really good run this morning, so that was fun. These guys did excellent.
Oh, it's okay. I know.
Yeah, it's a little surreal, to be honest. It's been a hell of a race for these guys. I'm super proud of them. Oh. And I'm tired. For the record.
Are you actually going to sleep this time?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get some sleep here. 8 hours is plenty of time to lay down. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of speechless, to be honest. It's, yeah, I mean, that I'm here in White Mountain is the number one musher at this point. One more run left to go in the Iditarod. It's, kind of a dream.
Come here. Oh. Do you have any issues coming over the pass today? For the dogs to...
No, the dogs did great. They had a really good run. Yeah, it was... Last night's run was interesting. I broke a runner and had really bad runner plastic on, so it was really slow for a good portion of it, and I pretty much thought I was giving up my lead the whole way. The mental game set in last night big time. But
you just got exhausted, you mean?
Yeah, I got really exhausted, and we were moving really slow, and I broke my runner on my sled, and so I had to sort of jerry-rig that. The plastic came off, and then the only plastic I had was the wrong plastic, and you know, typical race things where you think you're going slower than you've ever went before when you're really probably not. But then the wind picked up and I had to think about other things, and the dogs picked it up once it got dark, and then they rallied. They had a big rally last night for the second half of our run, which brought my attitude around, and I forgot about all the flood issues, and we cruised to our camp, although I owe Elam a visit, because I I was so exhausted and so tired. My GPS quit and I didn't know where I was. And I was only 5 miles out of the checkpoint and I camped. It was kind of a bummer, but...
You would have camped at Ingram?
I probably would have at that point, but I didn't realize I was that close. I expected to camp about 15 miles out of Ingram, but you split that run in half, but I went maybe 13. But I went another 8 miles, and which was beneficial for today. It was awesome. And they were moving good. That's why we ended up going that farther, because they were just moving, and I wanted to get out of that wind. And I should have known once I hit the road that I was near Elam, but my brain wasn't 100%. But we were, yeah, the dogs, they were champs. They brought it around for me last night after a real slow start to our run.
You were on that road and you didn't remember it?
Well, I mean, I remembered it, but I always thought, now Elam is 10 or 15 miles away, you know, and that's, yeah. I was basically thinking all night that Dallas was looking behind my shoulder the whole time thinking, oh, there's his headlamp. He's coming. Just paranoia for the most part. But, because he was still quite a ways back, but the wind picked up and I had to sort of focus on that again, and that really helped. And these guys, they always thrive when the conditions aren't perfect as far as the wind goes. And it was kind of a slog in between fast, just like every other run on this race, where you get a good hard fast part and you're going 9 miles an hour, and then you get to the punchy stuff and you're going 3. So
can you help me make sense of this, you know, run your own race thing, but you're also paranoid about Dallas?
Well, I mean, if it's when you're coming in on your last two runs, it's, you know,
It's
all about staying ahead of the guy behind you, you know, at that point. I mean, we were running our own race. We were running the schedule. I was just, you know, I knew where I wanted to. Well, I did know. I went past where I wanted to stop. But, I mean, we were definitely doing it, but I was just paranoid that we were giving it up. But we weren't. So.
How are you physically? I mean, we saw you out on the ice a couple times, kicking and pulling the whole
thing. Oh, yeah. I'm tired. I think my heels are bloodied from last night. I kicked a lot last night, but my knees are completely, because I kept hitting the side of the sled, so I ripped those all to pieces. But, I mean, yeah, I feel about how I do at the end of every 1,000-mile race. Tired. Like I left it all on the table.
I think the dogs have enough energy to make it all the way home.
Oh yeah, they're doing great. They're gonna love this 8-hour break. We've been doing some shorter breaks the last couple runs, and they've been getting right up and doing the job. We'll have plenty of energy to get to know them.
Blonde leader's name you've had so much?
Slater. Yep, Slater and Morello. These two led a good portion of the race. They're amazing. Of these two, for sure, hands down. But Woody has led a lot, and then Katuk and Arlo did some leading on that on the ice yesterday when it was just really slow, and I didn't want to use these guys up at all. They just kind of trudged along at that 5 miles an hour pace, and so I let these guys take a break during that, which was really helpful for them. I knew I needed them for the second half of that run yesterday. Yeah, I mean, he's almost been up there the whole race. It's hard to take him out because he just keeps the speed up more than anything. And same thing with her. And they're really good at just going through checkpoints without any hesitation or anything. So, oh, yeah. Every dog in the team I raised, I picked the breedings and raised every single one of them.
How old are they?
They're 6. And, yeah, him and Woody and then the other pink one, whose name is Pink, he's not pink, he's orange, but they, they're all litter mates. And
what's the litter theme name?
Oh, dazed and confused characters. They were born on 420, so they got characters from the Dazed and Confused movie. Yep. Yeah, right. Oh.
Good job, Brett.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. excited to be here. Oh, how far back is the CV?
About 17 miles.
Yeah, a little breathing room at least. Won't feel so... Yeah, a couple hours. That's probably a couple hours, right? That's nice. Okay, guys, how about some straw? I know you want it.
I was just looking on it.
Good, Jackson.
You guys got any questions you want me to ask?
What do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm for a radio reporter.
He's for the radio.
Do you want to ask Brent Sass anything?
You guys want to ask him?
Got any questions?
Maybe ask him how long his trip was. How many days to get here?
Traveling.
Yeah. Hey, Brent, the kids want to know how you sleep when you're traveling.
How I sleep when I'm traveling. I try not to sleep when I'm traveling, but that doesn't always happen. The seat is pretty nice because when you fall asleep, you fall back and fall on the seat. So the seat really helps behind me because I do fall asleep sometimes, but... You strive not to, because if you lose the team, it's not a fun thing. So, but it does happen.
For you to say cheese.
Ah, crazy. Wait, does come from
my grandson. Ask him what's those.
Who
guys, the film guys. He's asking who's the film guys are. Yeah, he was asking.
Harry said, what does tense for? Harry say, what does tense for? And Harry say, ooh.
Which is your favorite dog?
You have a favorite dog?
That one.
The dark one? Or the white one?
The white one.
Have a good trip all the way to Nome.
I will, thank you.
And safe one.
Yep.
All right.
But don't do on the ground.
The grass for the lay on the snow.
The doggy's got a snake.
I had the white one.
That's black.
Hey, Brent, you do realize that every race, the four races that I've covered where you've raced, you've won?
Well, you're my good luck charm, I guess, huh? That's funny.
Must give you a lot of pressure, huh?
Yeah, right. Oh, no, I mean, we just got to have a clean run to know him. I'm not too concerned about that. I mean, it's not over till it's over. There's no doubt about that. There's no win in the books yet, but... called BLT. It's a combination of beef, tripe, and liver. They love it. That was their favorite thing on the trail this year. They ate it every single time I gave it to them.
Yep. You want some extra?
Yeah.
For at home?
Can I get your signature?
Sure, yep.
Brent, I know it's not over, but was there like a key run out there that you thought you really kind of pulled away?
Yeah, I think that the run from basically leaving, well, two runs. The run leaving Old Woman Cabin and coming through Unicleet, and then I camped in the Blueberry Hills, and then leaving the Blueberry Hills to where I camped out on the sea ice. Those two runs, I think, were the smart moves for the team and for myself. And the dogs were super strong leaving the camp in the Blueberry Hills. They went through those hills like... I could just stand there and do nothing, and they were, I mean, it was really icy, so there was not much resistance, but man, they were impressive. It just sort of like, I knew I still had a dog team for the push on the coast. That it was a confidence builder for me there, you know, because you get to that point in the race, and we always say the race starts on the coast, you know, and when your first run on the coast is killer, you're pretty excited about it. So, and then the camp on the sea ice was a lot of fun too. So, Yeah.
And one other sort of abstract question that I have for you. I know, like, you know, you and Dallas have been, you know, towards the front. It seems like Dallas was the pre-race favorite, and, you know, he's a very different musher than you. I think you guys, I don't know, kind of approach it differently. How do you feel like, what does Brent Sass represent for mushing? I mean,
I'm a new face for Iditarod, maybe, and I don't know. It's all about the dogs. Super proud of the dog team. I mean, everyone says that or whatever, but I feel like I've put a lot of energy into this team, and they've poured it all out in the field. It was pretty fun.
Is it a lot of sacrifice to you?
Yeah, I mean, everything. I mean, my whole life has revolved around these dogs and training for Iditarod and all the races we do and just raising them. That's the most fun, actually. I enjoy the training almost just as much as the racing, you know. The training and living where I live and doing the things that I do is why I do this. I would never be able to, like, live in town and just kind of train to race dogs. I think living out where I live and making it an all-inclusive lifestyle, I think that's, you know, the way it used to be is kind of the way it is, you know, for me. So maybe that's what I represent, sort of the old school in all of this, because I'm still living, you know, like Susan and Rick did back in the day. So,
and you're literally like that's where they used to train.
Yeah, in Eureka. Yep. Rick comes out in the summertime, and I still see him. And Susan's family is out there. His daughter is out there living too. So, or on and off in the winter now. She's mushing dogs. So, yeah, I'm basically carrying the tradition on in Eureka with dog mushing. So this is, you know, it's special to be here and representing Eureka.
Yeah.
20, 30, 40 years later.
Right on. I'll try to let you get back to work.
Yeah.
Well, that was Brent Sass in the lead in White Mountain, getting his dogs bedded down for a rest. And probably by now he's getting some rest, at least getting some food and then maybe a little bit of sleep. He'll be back up in a few hours and getting that team ready to go again so that he can mush the final stretch to Nome. We'll have another quick bonus episode of the Iditapod for right after. Whoever finishes in Nome first, we'll get that to you as soon as we can. And until then, we'll keep you updated at alaskapublic.org with further race coverage. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Casey Grove. Stay tuned for the next edition of the Iditapod.